Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back. I'm Andrew.
I'm Katie, and we're ecstatic because the election went well.
Yes, it did. It went very well.
Thank you to all that voted.
Yes, thank you so much. That was a huge voting turnout.
I think everyone exercising their civic duty is a good thing.
Yes. And you know what? I'm just going to say it. Democrat, Republican, the fact that everyone in this country turned out to vote for who they felt deserved to win.
Absolutely.
Was just amazing.
So we also may have implied that we were going to be in either France or Scotland, depending on how the election went, because it would have been whiskey if it went poorly, champagne if it went well. It went well. I'm champagned out. Because I had a lot yesterday when he won. So we decided, Andrew decided, that instead today we are in Samoa.
Samoa!
This was interesting. I very much enjoyed this. So, and we paired this recipe, we paired this recipe with a great episode today. Actually, that's not bad. I like how that turned out.
Yeah.
So, this cocktail. So, it's brought to you by none other than the Tipsy Bartender, which, who doesn't love him? I love his videos.
Oh, he's amazing.
Very enthusiastic. You know, before we had the Mad Hungarian. Now, this is the Angry Samoan.
Angry Samoan.
I like it. Now, this is 1 ounce of coconut rum, a splash of grenadine, and then like energy drink of your choice to taste. And so Andrew can go ahead and do his recommendation because his sounds awesome.
So I actually did 2 ounces of coconut rum because I was using the full can of energy drink.
Live.
I got the Ultra Fiesta Zero Sugar Monster, which is delicious in and of itself, and did, like, I want to say, like, 2 splashes of grenadine. I basically just doubled the recipe because I put it in my big cup, and it's amazing.
Awesome. Well, I did not use as good of an energy drink choice. I use Full Throttle because I love Full Throttle. I love the really, like, tart, citrusy taste, but, like, it... I don't know. It's hitting the coconut weird, but it's okay. So
it's aight.
It's not my favorite. Now, the toast in Samoa is simple. I got this from the Samoa Secrets channel on YouTube, so it's legit. So they hold up their glass and they say, Matawea.
Matawea?
Matawea. Yep.
Matawea. I like that.
Yeah.
Rolls off the tongue.
Short, sweet, to the point. What you got going on today?
I had a hard time. Like, I picked it, and then I was like, oh.
Now I actually have to research.
I'm having a hard time. I told Katie earlier that I need to start, like, glancing at the countries when I pick them.
Yeah. Can I find something? There will always be information for you somewhere. Sometimes yes. They may lie in the second page of Google.
You know, and this one actually did.
Ooh.
I found
deep
a blog, which I don't have up anymore. It was like glitternight.com or something like that. And it had a lot of information about the different gods and goddesses. And some gods and goddesses had like stories amongst like their description. And I thought it was really informative, and it was simply laid out. And I found out that the post that I was reading from and got most of my information from was from 2013.
Oh, pretty recent?
Yeah. Yeah, about 7 years ago.
Yeah. Is that surprising for you? Like, most of your information is older, right? I mean...
Well, yeah. Most of the information that I get is from older sources, and I'm assuming that they did their research and grabbed from older sources. I did see them cite, a few things, but they simplified it.
Oh, okay.
And it was beautifully simplified. We're going to talk about 2 deities that I found today. My God.
Is that one of them?
Yes, that is. That is. That's one of them. My God. Great Scott. But yeah, okay. So, Samoa gods. The first god that I'm going to talk about is Losi. I'm hoping I'm saying that correctly. This guy is a fishing deity and also a member of the immortal earthbound giants.
What? That sounds really awesome.
Right? One day, the chief deity, Tangaloa, requested that he catch a bunch of fish for the gods to have a feast, which Losi graciously accepted. Except he was also a trickster and loved to piss off all the other gods. So Losi goes fishing and comes back to the heavenly realm with tons of fish for the gods. But instead of simply giving them to the gods, he places the fish right outside the doors of all the gods' homes. So when they wake up in the morning and step outside, they all slip and eat shit, causing Losi to burst out in hysterical laughter.
Oh, rude.
Right? Since I guess this was the last straw for the gods, they banned Losi from the heavenly realm. So I kind of want to know what he did before this.
What he do?
I don't know. I couldn't find it. Before Losi left, however, he grabbed a bunch of oh my god, you're gonna love this. Okay. He grabbed a bunch of taro seeds and shoved them up his ass.
Naturally.
Of course. You know, to smuggle something only the gods had to Earth so that the humans could also enjoy it.
Oh, and I do. I love taro. It's delicious. They have a taro ice cream at Trader Joe's.
There's this this ice cream place. It's like a fish ice cream place. I think it's called Snowtime or something like that. Anyway, they sell those like fish waffle cones with ice cream in it, soft serve in it. Mm-hmm. And they have a taro ice cream. We also went to this like boba place by a Korean supermarket. Eddie got this like taro boba drink, and it was delicious.
Oh, like a milk tea. Like, was it a milky purple?
Yeah. Basically?
Yeah, I love the milk teas. Oh my God. Oh, that sounds amazing. That was there in Phoenix?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty freaking delicious.
Taro seeds up the butt.
Yes, taro seeds up the butt. So Tangaloa felt something was off about the situation and ordered that Losi be thoroughly inspected.
Oh.
Fortunately, the seeds were not found, but that didn't mean that Losi was now the one. But
he's deep.
Yeah, but that didn't mean that Losi was not the one who was pissed off now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So while on Earth, Losi rallied up all the other giants and decided to take the heavenly realm by storm. Does this maybe sound a little familiar?
Should it?
Yeah, like, you know, the Titans and the Greek pantheon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like the Titans and the Greek pantheon. Yeah, I knew that.
Only in this tale, the gods aren't the ones who win.
Oh, twist. They get
yeah, what a twist. M. Night Shyamalan, eat your heart out. Mm. So the gods get their asses handed to them. And even though it was Losi who rallied the giants, it was Lefanoga, the god of destruction, who took the giants to victory over the gods. After defeating the gods, they grabbed all kinds of fruit trees only known to them, to the gods, as well as yams to give to humans on Earth.
Mm, thank you.
Yes.
I am so grateful for these yams.
Oh my God. The second deity is Pili, Pili is the black lizard god and brother to the goddess of love, beauty, and fertility, Sina.
I like that it's a little lizard. Or is it a big lizard? I guess
I'm assuming
just
a big lizard.
Oh, that's not as cute.
I like how you assumed a little lizard and I assumed a big lizard.
I was picturing like the little guy in Frozen 2.
So although Pili's true form is that of the black lizard, he could also take on human form. And this is actually true for all of the deities in the Samoan mythology.
Oh, that they have a human form and a god form? Animal form?
They have, they call it the true form and then the human form. So I think the true form depends on like the deity and what they're known for.
Okay.
Sina didn't look to have two different forms or a true form that I could find. Now, in this tale of Pili, he went with Sina to Fiji when the king of Fiji courted Sina to become his bride. On the boat across the ocean to Fiji, the food supply ended up running low, and the king somehow convinced Sina that it was Pili's fault. Despite Pili using his powers to multiply the existing food so that everyone could still eat before getting to Fiji. Since Pili was made to blame, he was thrown overboard and eventually saved by his brothers. I didn't write their names because I didn't know how to pronounce them and I didn't want to butcher it. I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
Once saved, the three brothers made their way to Fiji after the boat, only to find that the king was so evil that even his land ended up in a state of famine. Eventually, the king even started to kill his own people in order to feed the nobles of his land. Cannibalism.
That seems not right. Yeah. That's not right.
That's not right at all. Okay.
Sir, I'm a vegetarian.
Well, Pili also hated this. So he decided to save everyone by planting magical yams.
All yams are magical.
And since these yams grew instantly, Sina was able to see that the king was truly evil and left Fiji with Pili. I'm very interested that to find that that Sina had like no idea how evil the king of Fiji was, but it took magical yams for her to figure it out.
I mean, that's the answer to all my problems. Like, when I need answers, I eat yams. Rich in antioxidants. I don't actually know if that's true. But
I don't eat yams. So
sounded good.
Now, I did notice as I dug into the Samoan pantheon that there were a lot of mentions regarding yams and them being a food only the gods had, and how they made it into human hands was either because a god got pissed at Tangaloa and stole them, or they were given willingly. I even came across multiple Polynesian tales of yams being a divine food passed down to mortals.
It's like the ambrosia with the Greeks, only it was like a divine elixir that was nice and sweet, and today it's like a weird mayonnaise and marshmallow salad.
Oh, ew.
I don't think it's mayonnaise. I think it's like sour cream, but still.
No,
odd.
It's mayonnaise.
Is it? Ugh.
Yeah, it's mayonnaise. It's, yeah, it's very Midwestern.
Yes, incredibly. It's not the elixir of the gods.
Nope.
The gods are like, what the hell is that?
What is this shit? How dare you?
Mayonnaise and pineapple?
No thanks. Though Japanese mayonnaise is pretty delicious.
Yes, it is. But it's like not mayonnaise. I like mayonnaise, just not on my dessert.
Yes. No, that's facts. But yeah, that's all I have.
I liked it though. So it was definitely different for you, like outside of your normal territory, because you like the more Greek and European stuff. Yep. It's cool though.
I do like that. We all have to step outside of our comfort zone sometime.
It's true. Which is what I'm kind of doing again today. Crossing into Andrew's territory.
You gave me a hint and I was like, I avoided everything I could about what you are going to talk about, so I actually don't know anything.
Awesome. Good. Good. I like it like that.
Good.
And you won't know anything. I'm logging off now. No,
and that's it, folks.
And that's the end of the show. So I chose this in particular because I was researching Samoan paganism and I came across the legend of the goddess Nafanua. And I hope I pronounced that correctly. I looked on YouTube and I couldn't find anything. So she was an Ali'i, which is the word for a chief or queen. And she was also a Toa, or warrior, from the Sa Tunumaipe'ea clan. Yes.
Very good. That sounded legit.
It sure did to us, I'm sure. I'm sure to other people, probably not so much.
Judging you know, from all of the Samoans that I do know who speak the language, that sounded pretty close to how I've heard them say things.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, I'm open to corrections, you know. I say that the end of the show. I'm like, correct me. I'm open to it.
Please.
On pronunciations, that's for sure. So she is the leader of the underworld. She is the daughter of the leader of the underworld, Savea Sialeo. And the name Nafanua means hidden in the earth.
Ooh.
She was born like so. Yes, she was like a gem. Well, we'll get into it.
Okay.
She was born so prematurely that she resembled a blood clot, which is why I connected to her, because I have a blood clotting disorder. So I was like, ah, from a blood clot came a goddess.
Yes.
So now I feel like I have like divine feminine energy.
You do have divine
I'm
feminine
feeling
energy.
Feeling clotty today. So. Just, girl, you look clotty.
Getting clotty with it.
So beautiful. Like a blood clot. So, Savea Sialeo took this blood clot and buried it. And at the right time, she unearthed it, and it grew into a warrior goddess, Nana Ifanua, which is shortened to Nanafua. Which is good, because that was hard. So during her time, a war broke out between the east and the west side of the main Samoan island. Savali'i is what I've gathered. I'm not quite sure of the geography of Samoa, actually, which I feel was not responsible before doing an episode on Samoa.
Savali'i,
yeah.
That's in reference to one of the islands, right?
Yes.
It's a western island.
Yes. So this is a war between the east and west side of that island. And they were battling over ownership of the land because it was like a status thing. The more land a family owned, the more prestigious they were. So the high chief of the eastern side, Lilo Mai'ava, that's what I wanted to say. He attempted to conquer the entire island, and during this time, if he could encounter anyone from the east or western side, he would force the person to climb a coconut tree feet first, just to assert his power.
Feet first?
Yeah, feet first, head down. How does one do that?
Oh.
Sounds painful and impossible, to be honest. I would just lay there, play dead. Fetal position. So now one of these people that he caught was named Ta'i'i, and it just so happened that Ta'i'i was the uncle of Nafanua. And so while he was being forced to climb up this coconut tree, he let out a sigh, and the sigh echoed through the land and was heard by Nafanua, and this infuriated her father, who was the older brother of Ta'i'i, and he ordered Nafanua to chop the tree down. Then they took the wood from the tree to fashion weaponry to banish the high chief. So they're using the tree against him.
Oh.
So they chop down the tree and she leaves it out to dry. And then when she returns days later, the tree was covered in seashells. And I guess metaphorically, this meant that although they are able to accomplish certain things, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the right thing to do. It takes courage to make wise decisions. So out of this wood, they fashioned four weapons. And I'm going to do my best to pronounce these correctly. So the first one is Fisala Fa'i. I'm sorry. And so this is shaped like a wide hook and facing outward, and it has three or four sharp teeth on the edge, and it's left bare from painting or decor. And it looks exactly, to me from the photo, like Maui's hook in Moana.
Oh.
The little hook.
I was like imagining that, but with more the little teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like teeth on the outside of the hook. So it's a, yeah, that's it. That's it for that one. The next one is the Fa'auli Ulito, which is a plain stick with a rounded, thick head. And it looks like a police club. And this one was assigned to Matuna and Matuna, which were her adopted parents, which I will kind of get into that. There was no explanation as to how they adopted her. But so they were to strike from the enemy side, and Nafanua would come in the middle. And before insinuating violence, she would attempt to negotiate peace with the enemy. So, I mean, respect. She's giving him a chance to be like, hey, stop taking that land. Let everybody live here. Be cool.
Be cool, bro.
But I don't think he was cool with it. But she told them not to be attacking willy-nilly because she didn't even want, like, to accidentally kill people, like, assuming they were the enemy, because she was super against inflicting harm on the innocent. Which makes this next quick fact with no explanation kind of confusing.
Okay.
Because apparently she accidentally killed her adoptive parents during this battle, and there's literally no explanation beyond that. So she, yeah, ironic. But she also, like, I don't know why she had adoptive parents to begin with, because her, like, her mother was a demigod and her father was a god. And they were, like, still kicking. Why were you adopted? So,
wow.
Yeah. The third weapon was the Ulima Masao, shaped like a canoe paddle with a round, smooth side and a pointed edge. And its sole purpose was to end war and bring peace, which is like the ideal weapon, I guess.
I mean, it sounds like it would bring peace.
Sure. I don't know how. Maybe it's like it's like the talking stick. Like, I have the floor and then I will hand you the stick and you can say your bit. And then we'll be fine.
Or like the spirit.
The spirit. Yeah. So the final weapon was the Fa'amatigatawa. Yep. And it was known as the most dangerous weapon of them all. It's shaped like a spear and it has teeth on both sides. And it was considered a weapon of death, which many weapons are. But it was more for intimidation and was not actually intended to be used physically. So going back to the whole Matuna and Matuna story.
They were both named Matuna?
Yeah, they were both Matuna and they were married, I guess. And yeah, I don't know how they became, she became adopted. But when she arrived on the island from her long journey, she fell asleep on the beach, and then Matuna and Matuna came by and found her sleeping. And they didn't, like, they decided they wanted to wake her up, but they didn't actually know if she was a human or a ghost.
Okay.
So they began screaming at her, because apparently that's what you do. Like,
if you think someone's a ghost, just scream at
them. Scream at it. It's like a bear. So she woke up immediately. And they said, greetings, but you're all wet, which I just thought that was funny that that was the quotation in the text that I read. Greetings, but you're all wet.
You're all wet.
So she explained to the couple why she was there, and she ordered them to spread the word that she was there to avenge her uncle. And the couple was like, okay, you and what army? Just kidding. They were like, where are you going to get all these warriors to help fight you? And she responded with, don't worry. On the day of the battle, a host of spirits who will change into dragonflies and cicadas will fight with us. Which I was like, okay. Are they like human sized though? That's what I wanted to know. But that's badass that you can even train these buggies to fight with you.
Dragonflies and cicadas. Dragonflies suck.
Unrelated note. Oh God, dragonflies scare the shit out of me. I'm not even kidding. Random note. Yesterday, I guess John had never heard the word cicada. He's only ever read it, and he pronounced it cicada out loud. And I was like,
cicada.
What's a cicada? And he was like, you know, the bugs that make the noise. And I was like, it's a cicada.
Cicada. Cicada. It ain't a freaking banana.
Cicada bananas. So that warmed my heart. Yeah, dragonflies. Fuck, man. They're like pretty, I guess, but when they come whirring at you at full speed, it freaks me out.
They don't give a fuck. They're just like, meow, right in your face.
Kamikaze pilots. So, alas, none of these weapons ended the war. No, this war ended how all wars should end.
Oh, no.
A swift wind blew Nafanua's apana, or shirt, upward, revealing her heavenly breasts. The enemies were shocked and mortified. Not the woman's breasts.
Not the titties.
Before that point, none of the men knew that she was a woman, so they immediately quit and ended the war in humiliation because she was kicking their asses.
Oh, my God.
They were like, no, titties.
No.
We're so embarrassed. Fragile, where do you go?
Oh, my God. We had no idea.
They were like, let's stop the war right here since we're already winning, right? Does that sound familiar at all to anybody? So,
oh my God, I love that journey for you.
I love it. After her victory, Nafanua returned home and her villagers her villagers celebrated by sending her food, and word spread that she was now a ruling. Well, she was now a ruling?
A ruling.
What was I saying there?
She's now a ruling.
This is the champagne talking yesterday. Her villagers celebrated by sending her food, and word spread that she was now a ruling chief. I'm just going to say that. Chiefs from all over Samoa came to pay their respects. So, and I won't go too much into it because it'll take a lot of time to dive into it, but I was on Hawaii.edu, and you can learn more about Nafanua because it says that Nafanua gave Samoa the governing structure that is still in place today, which I found really interesting. That I want to know if there's boobs involved. That's what I want to know. But I guess you can read more about that on their website. But yeah, that's it. Born from a blood clot, ended a war with her tits. She's my hero.
Born from a blood clot. Speaking of blood clots.
Oh, God. What? Do I have to tell people about my foot injury? Is that what I'm going to have to do? Or what are you saying?
No. No, not at all. No. So I came across a TikTok. At least I think it was a TikTok. And it was talking about how... I'm pretty sure it was TikTok. I'm sorry. It was these girls talking about how when they're on their period, how they were describing to their boyfriends about how the occasional like blood clot will pass and you can like push it out.
Mm-hmm.
And their reactions were just absolutely mortified. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't help but laugh because even though I did not know about this, being around females my entire life, it didn't even faze me. Because I'm like, yeah, I mean, that would make sense. Because, I mean, the lining of their uterus is shedding.
He's all, cool. Like,
it makes sense.
Yeah, it's something else.
And, oh, God. And then that ended up, because I went from, like, normal musical theater, cosplay TikTok to
clotting menstruation
to clotting menstruation and queefing.
Oh, God, what?
I don't know how I did it, but I made it to queef talk.
Queef talk? That's a queef thing? Talk.
That is a thing.
Oh, my God. See, I like recently discovered witch talk, which most of these people I question the legitimacy of, but queef talk. Now that sounds awesome. Also, is it just a bunch of people queefing?
Yeah, dude, there's these girls who are like in a queef off right now.
That's weird. They're
yeah.
I can't queef on command.
If I come across one of the videos, I'll send it to you. I think I might have sent you one, but if I come across another one of the TikToks, I'll send it to you so you can, like, check it out.
Oh, definitely. It's now my goal for the end of the evening. Oh, my God. I thought he, because he was, like, speaking of blood clots, I sent Andrew a picture earlier this week, and I was like, I think I have a blood clot in my foot. And he was like, what the fuck? Because, I mean, my foot was super swollen and it looked like it had a straight up tumor on it.
Yep.
Yeah. So I went to the doctor and he explained the mechanism of how I would have, like, I completely strained my tendon to the point where it almost tore, but, like, did not completely tear, which was awesome because it would have required surgery. But when he described the mechanism of how I would have had to do that, I remembered how I did it.
How'd you do it?
Oh, Andrew, it's so stupid.
Oh, you know what? A lot of the things that we do that causes us to hurt ourselves these days is stupid. So just lay it on me.
Sitting on it. I sat on my own foot. And I...
Wait, and it's your right foot, right?
It's my right foot, and I went to sit on the floor to play with my kids, and I tucked my feet under me, and all of a sudden I felt my right foot pop, and I remembered this once he talked about it, because it didn't hurt at the time when it happened, so I naturally blanked it from my mind. And then it was like the next day that it was like enormous, and I was like, I'm dying. I'm literally like, I'm going into heart failure. Like... I had, like, heart palpitations from the election and a swollen ankle, and so I was like, I'm legit, like, dying. I went to the doctor. They're like, yeah, no, you tore a tendon. I'm, like, sitting on myself. I don't even know how I did that. So, yeah.
Oh, my God. I asked if it was your right foot because I didn't look at the picture again, but I also hurt myself on my right foot.
Oh, twins.
While doing something absolutely trivial.
Uh-oh. What'd you do?
So, earlier this week, Yvonne and I were... Oh, excuse me. I think it was Tuesday night. Yvonne and I were out in the living room, and we were watching various videos or whatever. I don't like to wear socks. And we don't have a couch, so we were laying on the floor. Yvonne had left the living room. I don't know what he was doing, but he came back and I was like adjusting and I just slid my foot like a normal person on the carpet. And my little toe, the nail on my little toe, half of it ripped off. Not completely, just enough to where it was like from the tip to the skin on the other end, like where it grows out of. God. And I tried like trimming it because I didn't realize like how bad it was. So I was like, oh, you know, I thought that maybe I had just like poked my foot and then I saw my toenail. I was like, oh, okay, well, let me just go and like trim it because I didn't see that it was split. And then I get into the bathroom and grab the clippers. And then I look and I see that it's half of my nail.
Oh, God.
Oh. Yeah.
Ick.
So now anytime like I'm laying on the floor and I go to slide my foot, I lift up my toes from the floor.
You got PTOSD.
PTOSD.
God, that like my toes are all like curled in now. It feels so good though, because I finally took my boot off.
Your boot, your fashion accessory of the year.
Oh my God, it's awful. I feel bad for anyone who has to wear one of those.
I had to at one point. It was not fun. Ugh.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a short one today. That was including all of our weird injury stories. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Yeah. Join us next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Murder Mystery, theme song by Luella Gren, logo by Lexi Wilson. New episodes air every Sunday on Apple, Google, Spotify, pretty much everywhere you get your podcasts. This podcast is currently entirely self-funded, so in order to keep it going, we really rely on word of mouth. So if you like what you hear, please subscribe, rate, review, and of course, tell your friends. If you have questions, corrections, or location and story suggestions, you can email us at murdermysterypodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @murdermystery. And don't forget to join us again next week.